Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed. Super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there.
Hi there. Welcome to the program. My name is Shola Adio. Welcome to episode 18 of our series on how to believe God for a spouse. In this series, I am sharing fundamental spiritual principles that will help single men and women to believe God for a spouse and to also find their spouse. I'll be sharing core principles of confessions, faith, hope, the seed principle, prayer, discernment, and so on. This series applies to both men and women. I want to share this prayer before we start. And I would suggest that you make this a constant daily prayer. This prayer can be found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you give unto us this day the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling in the name of Jesus Christ. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I spoke on different stages of development as a Christian because remember where our main focus is on how to believe God for a spouse. But then again, I mentioned the fact that it's not enough for you to just come to God simply because you need a husband or you need a wife. Then once you're done, you just jump away. Now, Christianity is not actually that way. Christianity is not a fire brigade thing that you or a spare tire thing that you only remember, you know, you only remember your spare tire when you have a flat tire. But if you don't have a flat tire, you hardly pay any attention to your spare tire. That is not how God works. God is not a spare tire. God desires a relationship with you, and that relationship is to your advantage and is to your profit. And what it then means is that when you have that constant and vital relationship with God, you are able to draw blessings out of that relationship at any time t without any stress. So that's why it's important for us, not just that you want to get a husband, because you know the way people approach it is that when they need something, they don't really care about the person that they are dealing with. They just want that thing fast, and as soon as they get that thing, they just run away. You don't see them again. But God doesn't, that's not how God operates. That's not the best that God has for you. God desires a relationship with you, so that out of that relationship, you will be drawing benefits and blessings out of it part time without any stress, so that everything that you see today in your life will be an outpouring or will be an offshoot of that relationship that you have with God. So I shared last week on different stages of development as a Christian, and that is very important for you if you want to succeed in believing God for anything, including a spouse. And I shared about three stages of Christianity: the babyhood stage, the manhood stage, and the fatherhood stage. It isn't God's will for us to remain at the babyhood stage forever, where we keep running to pastors and elders for prayers. We need to feed on God's word to a point where we no longer depend on our leaders, but other new Christians will now depend on us. If you require help, by all means, go see your pastor. But you also need a program of continuous personal word consumption to experience lasting growth, miracles, and blessings in your life. That is very important. Yes, you can run to the pastor for a prayer today if that's what you feel like doing, but lasting growth will not come into your life until you separate yourself and begin to give yourself totally to the word of God. In fact, some of the prayers that you receive from pastors and elders will not even be able to manifest the results until your mind is reprogrammed with the word of God. I mean, for example, now, if you run to a pastor and he prays for you that by the end of 2015, your husband will come. Now, let's assume that man is the most anointed pastor in the world. But if you come out of that place and you are talking absolute negativity, the kind you find on Twitter where they say that, okay, when you have attained a particular age, your own has finished. If you keep repeating what they are saying, no matter how anointed that man of God is, you are not going to marry this year. You are not going to find anybody this year, because the Bible makes it clear that you have what you say. It didn't say you have what the pastor said. It didn't say you have what the general overseer said. It didn't say you have what the bishop said. It said you have what you say. So what are you saying? That is the final decider, irrespective of any anointed prayer that you seek. So it is very important for you to know that you have personal responsibility in this process, and you cannot throw away your personal responsibility out of laziness, out of carelessness, and depend on other people's anointings all your life. It's not going to work for you that way. After a while, even if it is worked, it's going to stop after some time, and you have to embrace responsibility for yourself, just like when a baby is growing. After a while, just like my daughter now, if she's hungry, she knows where the biscuits are. But when she was a little kid, we actually had to get up and go get the biscuits for her. But now she is of age, her muscles are developed. So when she is hungry, she has to get up on her feet and go and get those biscuits. You understand? So if she's waiting for me now to go get those biscuits, then she's not hungry, so she's gonna sit there and wait forever, seriously. But if she's serious about wanting those biscuits, you're gonna get up on her feet and go to the kitchen and get those biscuits herself and begin to eat them. And that is how Christianity is. After a while, God expects your muscles to have developed for you to begin to reach out for things rather than depend like a baby on other people for things to get done. I hope we all understand that. Now, today we're gonna go back into our initial emphasis over the last 4 weeks, which is the Kingdom of God principle. And just in case you've forgotten, I'm going to read our main scriptures and then we'll begin to build from there for the rest of this episode. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 26 to 29. He says, "And he said, so is the Kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So we see here that the scripture is saying that the way the Kingdom of God operates in your life is that you as a man will take responsibility and cast a seed into the ground. He didn't say God will cast that seed into the ground. He didn't say your pastor will cast that seed into the ground for you. He didn't say your bishop will cast that seed into the ground for you. You as a man will take responsibility and cast the seed into your ground. And the Bible says you shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the the full corn in the ear, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So you see here that the seed planting phase is a secret phase. So you see, Christianity really for me is a secret job. What I mean by secret job is that the planting phase is not a phase where you need to know about. As in, if I am planting the seed, you don't need to know about it, because the seed goes into the ground and the seed becomes invisible to the naked eye. It means that the seed is put in the ground and you really don't know what I am putting into my ground, because you have not seen anything come out yet on the day that I put the seed into the ground. So really, as a Christian, you need to cultivate the habit of pulling away from the crowd, of pulling away from people, and beginning to sow the seed of the word into your heart. And as you sow that seed into your heart, the Bible says you should sleep and rise night and day, the seed will spring and grow, and you don't know how. You don't know how means that the seed begins to develop. It begins to develop root underneath the ground. You cannot see those roots as they are developing, and the seed will then spring forth. You are not able to explain it. How are you able to explain? When you put a bean seed into the ground today, you don't see anything. When I was a kid, we did some experiments at the back of our house. We had some soil there, so we'll put seed into the ground and then we'll go to sleep, and we don't see that anything had happened. All my mom would say to me was that we should pour water on that seed that we have just put into the ground. So we knew the exact spot where we had put the seed into. And then the following day, I went there and I saw nothing, and I was wondering, is anything going on here? Then I tell my mom, I'm not sure if this thing is working. Should I uproot the ground and pull the seed out to be sure that anything has happened to it? And my mom said to me that if you pull that seed out, you are going to kill it and you are not going to get a harvest out of it. So I then had to exercise some patience for another 24 hours. And I think either maybe about 1 or 2 days later, I began to see something shoot out of the soil, something very small. And that gave me some hope that something was going on. That gave me some hope that the seed I put in the ground 3 days ago had begun to produce a result, even though that's not the final result. But I was now had the feeling of greater expectation that seed is beginning to do something. That seed is definitely going to give me a final result of a harvest. And that is how it is spiritually. Spiritually, at some point, you are going to begin to develop as you put that seed into the ground. I'm going to tell you what to do to put the seed into the ground in the next part of the episode. But as you are putting the seed into the ground and you are watering that seed, what's going to happen is that a root system is going to develop on the inside of you. That word is going to take root on the inside of you. That word is going to flush out every unbelief on the inside of you. It's going to flush out every unbelief. It's going to flush out every negativity that is on the inside of you, until you come to that position, that point of full persuasion that this thing is definitely working, even though you don't have a manifestation, but you are fully persuaded on the inside of you, irrespective of what anybody on the outside believes, that this thing is working for you. So I'm going to continue from here after the break. See you after the break. Bye.
Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Hi there, welcome back. Now, where did we stop? We stopped at the point where I said that you will begin to feel a feeling, you have a feeling of change on the inside of you when that seed begins to take root on the inside of you. I'll go through it again so I can be sure that you have a complete grasp of it. Now, I gave the illustration that when the bean seed began to shoot up through the ground, I had this feeling that, oh yes, it is working. and definitely something great is going to come out of this. Now, even though I had not seen a bean harvest, I have not received a harvest of beans, but as soon as I saw something shoot out, something small shoot out of the ground, I knew definitely that my seed was working. Do you understand? So what it means is that when you begin to put God's word into your heart, first thing is that you will not see any outward change. Just like when you put the seed into the ground, you're not going to see any outward change. You're not going to see any outward transformation when you start putting the seed into the ground. And that is where a lot of carnal Christians miss it. They miss it simply because they are expecting ministry of sharp. So it's like the moment God tells you to do something and you don't see something sharp, then you just assume that it's not working, that is of no use. Then you run after evangelists, you run after prayer contractors who can get things done for you sharp. No, that's not the will of God for you. The will of God for you is that you take time to put that seed into your heart, and that seed takes root on the inside of you, and then that seed will spring forth and then begin to grow until it develops into a full harvest that you can reap on the outside. So that is very important. It's very important. There is a phase where that seed is doing something under the ground. That seed has been killed and has died and has broken up, and then the life is coming out of that seed and then springing out through the surface, through the soil, and then you begin to see some little changes pop out through the surface. And you see, that phase is what I call the secret phase. The secret phase is a time where God's word is doing something on the inside of you because you're planting it, and the people watching you on the outside cannot see any outward transformation. The people looking at you on the outside cannot see any transformation. You yourself cannot see any outward transformation happening, but something is now beginning to take place on the inside of you. Now, that phase is when the word is beginning to take root. And you see, why does the word need to take root? What do you need a root system for in farming? You need a root system so that whatever is coming out on the outside will have a strong foundation. First of all, we have a strong foundation that is built on, so that when the wind begins to blow, it's not going to crash. Then number two, the root system also is where the plant begins to derive water and its nutrients from the soil. So if you do not have a root system, what would happen is that you will be cut off from supplies. Many Christians today do not have a root system. Now, if you don't have a root system, you're going to suffer from drought. If you don't have a root system, when the sun comes up, you will not survive the heat, because when the sun comes up and there is no rain, the only place you can get water from is from the soil. And the root system is what allows you to tap into the nutrients that is within the soil that will help you grow. So that's why it is important. And you see, all this is happening below the surface. So it means that the greatest thing that will happen to you as a Christian in the kingdom of God is happening below the surface. It's happening away from the eyes of the world. You are not here to impress the world. You are not here to show off to the world. No. Come away from them. Separate away from the world and come into your room and get the scriptures out. Get the word of God out and begin to plant it into your heart. And as you plant it, begin to water it. I'll tell you what to do and what it means to plant the word of God, or to sow the word of God, or to sow the seed of the word of God into your heart. Now, how do you sow the seed of the word of God into your heart? The way you do it is that you bring out the scriptures, you find the scriptures, you locate the scriptures, you locate the testimonies behind those scriptures that point to the things that you are believing God for, and then you begin to speak them. You begin to speak them into your heart. Let me give you an example. For instance, you have an illness or you have an ailment in your body, and it's not life threatening. You have a lot of time on your hands. Now, what you need to do is to get the scriptures out that talk about healing. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely Christ hath borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I have been healed." You bring that scripture out and you begin to meditate on it. You begin to pray over that scripture. You open to that scripture. You don't read an entire chapter. You bring specific scriptures out. Those are seeds concerning the area that you are believing God for, and you begin to say those scriptures to yourself. You begin to meditate on those scriptures. You begin to declare those scriptures on a daily basis. So maybe you have a daily program of about 10 minutes where you are speaking those scriptures to yourself, where you are looking at those scriptures. You may even print those scriptures out on paper and paste them on the wall, and every day when you wake up, you see those scriptures. You are looking at those scriptures. You are incubating on those scriptures. You are meditating on those scriptures until those scriptures become a part of your heart. That is what it means to sow the word of God into your heart. But if you spend all your day watching Google, what Google has to say about that situation, that you are watching every single day of your life is the seed that you are sowing. And trust me, many times, almost 100% of the time, Google has nothing exciting to say about the situation that you are going through. Google has something to tell you about doom that will happen to you once you see a particular symptom, and that is not the seed that you really, really want, because the seed that you plant into your heart is what you are going to reap in your life, in your outward circumstances. So if you want a transformation of God in your life, then you need to sow the seed of the word of God into your heart on a daily basis. You sow that word by meditating on it, rolling it over in your mind as you are going to walk. You sow that seed by waking up in the morning and going to a secluded area of your house and declare those scriptures like 20 times, like 60 times, like 40 times over your life in the morning. And as you are doing that on a daily basis, what you are doing is that you are sinking a root system. And the way you also water the seed is that you are constantly thanking God. You are constantly thanking God and praising God for the favorable outcome, for the great outcome of this seed in your life. And that was what the farmer will do. Now, what will the farmer do? When the farmer puts seed into the ground and then it begins to grow, even without seeing the fruit, the farmer will go to the bank and begin to negotiate facilities with the bank based on the harvest that he is expecting. So that's what it means to thank God and to praise God. You are thanking God, praising God, because you are completely sure of the outcome of the word. Because the Bible says that the just shall live by his own faith. So if you are in a position where you are not sure that even the word that you are professing will come to pass, you are not walking by faith. And the way to develop that is by speaking it continuously to yourself, repeatedly to yourself, praying in tongues over that word, praying in the Holy Spirit over that word, thanking God for the manifestation of that word, praising God in the midst of that word, worshiping Jesus in the midst of that word. That is how to water that word. That is how the word will begin to develop a strong root system on the inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is how things will begin to develop on the inside of you. Now, while all this is going on, nothing has changed on the outside. Nobody has come to approach you to be his wife. Nobody has come that you can approach to be your wife. But this thing is going on the inside of you. The word is taking root on the inside of you. While the world is busy watching their clocks, saying that, oh, okay, you are now 30. Nobody has ever come to you. It doesn't matter. 10 people don't need to come to you. Seriously, only one person from God needs to come to you to be your husband. Do you understand? I mean, there was a time I was looking for work. I mean, I was, you know, out of contract and I was looking for contract. And people will ask me, so how many interviews have you attended since you started looking for work? I had not attended any. So it's, or how many interviews do you have coming up next week? And I don't have any. So you begin to feel a sense of desperation or a sense of despair. But you see, what I am believing God is for is not for 10 interviews. What I am believing God for at that point was a contract, a job. So even if it is only one interview that will lead to that job, so be it. You can possibly have 40 interviews and still not get a job. Do you understand? Okay, let me give you an example. When I wanted to break into the investment banking sector, I mean, I didn't have investment banking experience, so I started sending my CVs out many years ago, over 10 years ago. Now, as I was doing that, I wasn't getting any response. So one day an agency called me and said, oh, so how is this your job hunt going? How many interviews do you have at the moment? I said, I don't have any. How many people have called you back to even say that they want to discuss your CVs? I said, none. I said, can't you see? Then the guy said to me, say, can't you see that you are no good and that nobody is actually interested in you? And I mean, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. In fact, as soon as I dropped that call, I went out in the cold, freezing weather, -4 degrees centigrade. And I began to thank God and I was praising God for the manifestation of my new job. And I, as I was doing that, tears were coming out of my eyes because I could feel the contradiction. I mean, there was a huge contradiction. Here I was praising God, thanking God for the manifestation of that job, and yet no visible interview on the horizon. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I discovered that from that point on, I sent out 40 CVs. Only three of them called back to say that we are interested, we want to put you forward to the client. Out of those three, only one of them matured into an interview, and that interview, I attended it and I got the job. And praise God, I was so happy, I was so delighted, and I began to thank God. And guess what? When I resumed that job, the man told me, who I had me, said, look, we're looking for somebody on this job. We're just looking for somebody on this job. And we told the agency that look for somebody for us who has no experience. That is who we want. But guess what? Before that happened, I was already confessing and declaring in my house that my name is being announced in the city. I announced my name in the city to the four corners of the city that they are looking for someone who has no experience, and that person is me. So I declared it for days on end with tears on my face because there was nothing up on the horizon. And guess what? It eventually happened. Declare your expectation with tears on your face. Declare it. And thank God and praise God, because we serve a God who can never fail. We serve a God whose word can never fail. His word will not return unto him void, and it will accomplish that which it was sent to do and prosper in that thing that it was sent to do. So that is the nature of the word of God. The word of God has integrity. Stake your life on the word of God. Stake your future on the word of God, and you will see that the word of God is the most dependable substance on the planet Earth today. I just want to stop here and encourage you that look, plant that seed of God's word into your heart. Water that seed of God's word into your heart. It will eventually grow and become a great manifestation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shola Adio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shola Adio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is K-A-R-I-S ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin, 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.